Blog Talk Radio.
All right. So now it appears this is working, and we have a caller, and I just want to double check, make sure. Now, this could be Robert. I'm not sure. All right, so I'm just going to post our call-in line, which is right here. This is an active line. So if you have questions about today, you can either put them in the chat or just ask the question and call in. And I will keep this going while we have questions. And let me pick up this call real quick. What's going on? Hello. All right, well, nobody's there, so I'm just going to end that call. All right, so like I said, we talked about a lot today. I got to mute this because I hear my shadow, or I hear myself talking back to myself. But a lot of what we talked about today is it's opinion-based. It's the way that I set up my trucking company. It's the way that I grew the business. So let me see real quick. Let me make sure this works. Hey, can you hear me? Are you there, bud?
I'm here, Steve. Robert.
Okay. Hey, Robert, what's up?
Not much, man. Having fun today.
Me too. I'm tired.
always enjoy talking about factoring in carriers. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful life.
It is. All right, so this is Robert Beard. He's the owner of Pay for Freight. He's also the sponsor of this event today. So if you have any freight factoring questions, be sure you can call in by calling in 914-803-4008, or you can type a question in chat and we'll talk about it. So I don't know, Robert, if you caught the rest of what I was talking about. Yeah, I got to mute this and see. Robert, say something real quick for mic test.
Yeah, happened here is I'm getting kicked out a couple times, but I guess if I don't respond fast enough or talk, it kicks me out, but that's okay. I'm persistent. I'll come back.
You're calling in?
I had to call in twice, but that's okay.
All right. Well, I booted you once because I didn't hear it. You should be good now.
Okay. I hear you good now. We're all good.
I just had to fix my sound because I was hearing my echo, but no worries. I'm not sure if you caught the rest of the show that we talked about, but we went over the load boards and how to use the DAT load board and truck stop load board. And we encountered a lot of, there's the annoying noise that the load boards make when there is a load. So I have to try to find that and take that down so it doesn't keep doing that in our ears. Or maybe you guys didn't hear it, but I did know it was annoying. All right, so it was. But you know what it does is it causes you to pay attention to the load board. That's one of the things, and that's why I turned it on. So basically, when the load boards make that noise, and the truck stop noise is far more obnoxious, that's like a truck air horn. It's loud, and it causes you to go and say, "Oh, there's a new load that I didn't see yet posted," and that's why it's there. But I was demoing the load boards and showing some of the different features on it, and I was also trying to express to them that. Granted, most of the load boards show days to pay and credit ratings and stuff, and that's a good like basis to decide whether you want to do a load. But ultimately, especially if you're factoring, you have to make sure that you are getting a credit approval before you accept the load from the factoring company you work with.
100% agree.
Yeah, a lot of people don't do that, you know. But yeah, that's That's it. We're just getting some stupid comments on here, so I'm just going to kick some people out as these comments go. But yeah, this is it's an interesting day. It's a long day. So I didn't think it was going to go quite this crazy by the end of the day. But so what are some of the other factoring while we wait for some questions to pop up here? What are some of the other factoring topics that you would like to talk about today?
Well, one of the things we didn't cover this morning was the fact that these factors who hold a reserve, we don't hold a reserve at Paper Freight, but those who do, you have to think about it as money that you're never going to have availability until you leave the factoring company and go to one that does not hold a reserve. Because let's just say, and you know this better than I do, Stephen, but if your margin as a trucking company is, say, 15%, and I'm holding a factoring company is holding, 5%, well, you've just cut your margin by a third. That's a third of your margin you'll never be able to get back and use in your business until you find another factoring company that doesn't have a reserve like that. So that's why the non-recourse that we do here at Paper Freight, we don't have reserves, no holdbacks. And that way the carrier can have all of his money. Well, that's our factoring fee. And so then he gets to control all of this. He's true master of his own cash flow.
Yeah. I've never really understood how the reserve works, to be honest, even as someone that worked with the non-recourse and recourse factoring. I only have experience. I had experience with myself as a carrier. We factored on a pretty low percentage, but it was recourse. I tell you, it was a while ago. I don't even remember what the rate was. I think it was, I think we had 1.5 just because of volume. We had a lot of trucks. And then I think our holdback was 3. And I didn't even include the reserve in my, in my calculations. And to be honest, when I closed the company, I don't even know if I got it back. To be honest, it's not even something I considered.
No.
It's kind of an afterthought. So, but then we had another company that I was consulting with, and I won't mention who that factoring company is, but they would increase the reserve at will, on depending on who the broker was or depending on monthly volumes. Or we started our contracts at 3%, but when we ended up figuring out what was going on, they were doing a 10% reserve holdback on top of the factoring fees, and we couldn't. Except their contract said they could, and that's it. We couldn't get any other answer for why. I guess we had one customer that didn't pay as part of the buyout when the company switched over from the previous factor, that one of those companies did not pay. And because of some paragraph in that factoring contract, they were able to hold back, an additional 10% because of that. So we were getting advanced. I don't know. It was low. It was like 88% of the invoice, when we were supposed to be at, 2% factoring. So it was, that kind of stuff, that little oversight essentially could close the company, because oftentimes you don't have 12% profit to play with, and just to wait to get paid.
Exactly. And I've even seen some factors too, Stephen, that if they took a loss maybe, or they were getting ready to take a loss, they would keep quiet about it. And then they would, of course, the carrier can't wait to get it from my factoring company. And then it shows up on the buyout report that, hey, there's a $1,500 invoice that is not going to pay. So Mr. New Factor, you got to take care of the old factor, or we're not going to give you, this client's still going to stay with us. And so a lot of factoring companies clean up their books when the carrier leaves a factor to go to new factor. I've seen that so many times. It's not even funny.
Yeah, it's a necessary business, but I guess with anything, with trucking, it's like what we talked about with good brokers versus bad brokers. There's always people that are just not necessarily right, that aren't doing it above board.
Exactly. I think I've been doing this for so long, I've seen every trick in the book, and it sometimes is really, hacks me off. that, you know, if you just would do good business, you'd have a lot more business. But you almost limit yourself because your reputation is where you can get a lot of business, and you don't. It's the best advertising you could have. If someone knows that they're, if people are out there in the industry that this is a good reputable factoring company, they're going to get business because that reputation does get out there. And we all know, and you know, I know, and carriers who've been out there for a while, they know who the good ones are and who the bad ones are. And but then, you know, also too, there's some shady sales tactics out there called do not disclose everything. Just get them on the dotted line, get them in that 1-year contract, and you can treat them like, you know, whatever you want.
It's really sad. I mean, that's why, you know, I believe your company kind of lives on that whole transparency mindset that I believe the industry needs more of. You know, I do the same thing as, you know, I know we haven't really talked much outside of this, but I'm in the brokers, the way I broker, I'm a volume broker. So pretty much I'm completely transparent. If a customer asks me how much I'm getting paid, they know, I have one customer that he knows exactly. I'm like, I'm paying the carrier $1,200, I'm billing you $200. You know, the customers know. And it's not necessarily, I don't necessarily do that on every shipment, but I believe that allows me to book. The customer is able to pay a little bit more than they wanted because they know that I'm paying a carrier premium. Carrier, granted, they probably don't believe me that much, you know, when I talk about the rates, because carriers are skeptical of freight brokers, just as they are of freight factors and things like that. I mean, unfortunately, there's too many people out there that have kind of tarnished the name for freight brokers and tarnished the name for carriers and tarnished the name for factoring. And it's good to be, you know, to interact with people that are actually trying to change that and just be honest. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day,
we have a couple of questions. Anthony Fallon said he would love to be. I know you don't see these questions, so I may just interject every now and then and jump on them. But Anthony said he would love to be a freight agent. Are there any agencies looking for agents? Every agency is looking for agents, but you need to have a book of business in order to be an agent nowadays. No one's going to take them on. If you're really dead set on doing it, you should. You know, just try to go work for a company first and just get that experience. Christopher Rayner asked on YouTube, you have to register with your state's DMV. Yes, as a trucking company, yeah, that's usually where you're going to go get your plates. And at that point, they're going to ask you for your proof of the 2290 filing. So when you get your Porsche plates from your state's DMV, that's when you're going to register your company with the DMV. In some states, all states, New Jersey, that's how we did it with our trucks. And then we had owner operators here in Florida that had to go to the DMV and prove, you know, that they had bobtail insurance and all that stuff and to get their 2290. And then Ben Cross on YouTube asked, if you're going to buy an asset-based or asset-light trucking company, what type would you buy and what geography would you look for? I don't know. I mean, I guess I would buy an. It depends. It depends on what kind of. Because, Robert, do you do any like equipment financing or anything, or are you strictly just factoring for now?
I've got a partner that we help our carriers if they need a trailer. I don't the tractor business is a whole nother animal, but we have contacts that we can refer for trailer financing.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, to answer your question, Ben, I would say if I was going to do it, I'd base it on an asset-light trucking company because you have less of an overhead. And so I would go asset-light where you own the trailers, maybe a couple of trucks, but you're mostly owner-op based as long as you structure it properly. And geography, anywhere I can make money. You can base your company out of anywhere unless you're in – I think you're in California, so you got to be a little – the days of owner-operators in California are pretty much over, so – as for now, so you would have to base your company outside of California and have your owner operators be based outside of California because of AB5. But do you have any thoughts on AB5, Robert?
No, not really. We haven't. I've only got a few carriers up there. So right now, the carriers I have are I've got more than a couple of trucks, and so right now I haven't seen any. It hadn't affected me yet. Now I'm not saying it won't affect me tomorrow, but I'm good for the time being.
I don't think it's really going to, I think it's going to, I don't think it's really going to be effective. To be honest, I think there's going to be so many lawsuits by the people that truly are affected, you know, that, that it's going to, yeah, I, who knows? We'll see. I don't think it's going to, that's why a lot of the brokers and people that are, that also have agents and reps in the, in those state in California or soon to be Jersey and soon to be New York. They're not panicking yet because there's going to be so much law, so many lawsuits and pushback once it actually becomes law that I think it's, they'll end up getting an injunction or something like that while they go through the legal side of things. Jones Lee asked, yes, yeah. Jones Lee asked, he has 25 newer truck and reefer trailers. I'm looking to set it, looking for dedicated lanes. How do I go about setting up lanes? Well, just like I said in the previous segment, you just got to go out there and network. Get the customers. You can't look for dedicated lanes without actually going out there and looking for the dedicated lanes. That's the easiest way to do it. I know it's a very generic answer, but you actually have to go out there and do the legwork in order to get the lanes. Or hire a salesperson. If you have 25 trucks and trailers, you should have enough profit in your company to go out and hire a decent salesperson that can go out there and beat on the doors to try to, you know, grab you some dedicated freight. But we're slow on the questions. We've had pretty constant viewership throughout the whole thing, but I think a lot of people are tired of listening to me talk because I'm not seeing as many questions as I normally do on a day-to-day show. But what are some interesting facts in the factoring world? Not necessarily, you know, what you go through, but just some of the interesting tech advances in factoring. And I know you yourself have a tech background, Robert. Right. I think you said you developed an app a while ago. What do you think? Do you think technology and do you think the advancement? Here's a question for you. Do you think the advancement of freight marketplaces and all of that will like kind of like Uber and Convoy? Do you think that will simplify the freight factoring program or freight factoring process?
Well, that's our hope. That's our goal, too. We have an app. That our carriers upload their documents through HubTran, and then our HubTran it's basically an OCR system to where that information gets transferred to our factoring software, and then it helps speed up the process in reviewing the paper for some of the things that we talked about earlier, bill of lading eligibility, rate confirm eligibility. Make sure there's no definite, you know, issues as far as shortages or damages or if it was required to be tarped. But some of those little specific tasks that the brokers put in the rate confirmation are in small print. So if the carrier's not paying attention, we've also talked about read. But these kind of technology that's out there, where all of us are out there trying to. Let technology take over, you know, so we can, again, make the experience with the carrier to be as seamless and as easy as possible because it shouldn't be as laborious as it used to be where you had to fax the stuff in. And, you know, it really was true 24-hour funding. Well, now through technology that we've invested in and also are part of, we strive – it's our promise that we're going to fund you the same day if we get the documents by a certain time, get our verification done. We work very hard to make sure that anybody who sends in their loads at 12 o'clock noon each day, they're funded by 5 o'clock. And we have people that actually send it loads to us and want to wire. We get those done by 3 o'clock. So we're always constantly trying to make our operation more efficient to where we can get the cash to the carriers as fast as practically possible.
Right. And that's one of the things we forgot to ask with pay for freight is like you said, you do, I guess next day ACH, as long as it's received that day and then you do bank wires. Are there fees for those? Cause I did see we had a question that I missed earlier. I was asking about the fees.
Yes. Well, we do have an ACH fee of $5. And what we also do too is someone, because we have a cutoff at noon each day, and then if we get, you know, loads for the next day, what we'll do is there actually is a a new bank product that you can actually send same day credit as long as it's done before noon. So if a carrier comes in either late in the afternoon before, and we want to process those first in the morning, well, there's still a chance that they're going to get that money the same day through an ACH, because we'll send that batch out by noon, and so they'll see it in their account before 5 o'clock that day. So it's a much better value, because it's $5 versus $15 as a wire, and of course the bank's going to charge the carrier another $15. So you're basically, if you can hang on for your money for just a little bit longer, you can save some material money, and you'd be surprised how many carriers will want a $600, load sent to their bank by wire transfer. But we also do free uploads to our fuel card carriers, and then they pay a transaction fee out at the truck stops. So we try to make the fees or expenses to get your money as easy and as economical as possible.
Yeah, so it seems like your fees are less than a lot of the other factors that I've dealt with personally, too. Because you said your wire fee is
$15? Mm-hmm, yes.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a wire fee that's $15, to be honest. I know that I've paid $35.
I need to raise my fees up. January
1, yeah,
I guess.
Right. That's pretty low. Even the transfers to fuel cards, I don't know if anyone's ever done them for free. Not that I've heard of.
No. Most people don't, or they do, and they charge heavy transaction fees. Ours is a couple bucks out there in the field, but again, it's we want to make it easier on the carrier. So yeah, we're going to try to make it not a nickel and dime proposition, because that's what some factories are really good at. I've seen some charge for credit reports, and it just gets on and on and on. But we try to, again, make it simple and do it as quickly and easily as possible for us and for the carrier, because we want the carrier to get his money as soon as it's truly ready to get to be sent to him.
Yeah, that's I wish I knew about you guys when I had my trucking company. Do you have because I probably would have saved a lot of money, to be honest. It seems like that.
I think you would. Yeah. And you'd still be. And the good thing about it, you'd still be factoring with us.
You'd still be in trucking, right?
Exactly. I mean, you would want to leave trucking if you were factoring with me.
Right.
But.
Because the last thing that we were talking about is managing drivers and adding on drivers and owner operators. Do you currently have anybody that you any carriers that utilize your fuel card? Because that's what I did, is I had fuel cards through. Our factor, and then I switch to a private fuel card company. But do you have any drivers that are managing their driver payroll through your fuel cards that you know of?
Well, I think all of them do, to be quite honest with you, because what normally happens is they put money in a fuel card, and they do use that to pay their drivers. And one of the things that also kind of separates us from apart is that we also can do a multiple funding type situation where a carrier may need to send some money home to the wife to pay the bills, and so they'll say, well, hey, I want an ACH for this much money, and then put the rest of my fuel card, so they can still buy fuel. Yeah. Maybe there's a driver pay situation, or there's a breakdown situation, lumper fee that has to be paid out. Fuel card companies will pretty much take care of that as well. So you can get funded more than one way when you factor with pay for freight.
Gotcha. Here's a question for you. So how does Vincent asked, if a broker doesn't advance fuel for carriers, can the carrier use a fuel card from the factoring company for an advance? How does that work? Now, I already know the answer to this, but I'll let you sell this, because I think this is one of you guys definitely have the cheapest fee I've ever seen for your fuel advance. But you could talk about that real quick.
Well, yeah, what they would do is, again, we would advance 50% of the load value, and we would put it on their fuel card, and they can draw off that fuel card again as they would on any other fuel card. That way they can buy fuel, they can if they're at the truck stop, they can use it for whatever they want, shower, or they can use it for dinner or lunch, or whatever stop that they can use, they can get money out of the fuel card account as well. Most of them also, the fuel cards, if you like to write checks, which I don't know why anybody would want to do that anymore, you can get a check and also give that to a driver. We happen to use EFS, so those EFS checks are just like writing a check to anybody else. Again, I don't know why you want to do that because it's the accounting part of it.
You got to use bumpers and things like that.
If you bundle your fuel and maybe some sundries or whatever, it's one transaction fee. You can get $50 or $100 cash and get your fuel at the same time, and it's only one transaction fee. Which again, the transaction fees, like anything else, they add up at the end of the month.
Yeah, they definitely do. And Vincent said based on the rate conversation. I know the answer, so I'll explain that. So basically, Vincent, what ends up happening is the carrier gets a load, he picks it up, he picks up the load, he has a bill of lading. Now, you guys at Pay for Freight must have some sort of vetting procedure where you will vet to make sure the load's actually picked up, right?
Right, yes. Well, we'll ask our carrier to submit it on this separate form. We'll turn right around and we'll call the company to make sure that the carrier's picked up the load. Once we get that confirmation, then the money goes out the door immediately.
Yeah. So it's not based on the rate confirmation per se. It's based on the evidence that they actually picked up the load. Because you guys are subject to that type of fraud as well. Brokers face it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I picked up a load and send a bill of lading. And if the broker doesn't, if the broker's busy or doesn't do the right amount of research, doesn't call the shipper and say, hey, did this load pick up? Can you verify it was this truck, or can you verify what time it picked up, or something like that? You're subjected to getting ripped off. So it's the same. They're not going to pay a fuel advance until after the load has been confirmed picked up, Vincent, if that makes sense.
Right.
You encountered carriers that in your experience, and I mean, you most likely you have because you've been doing this so long, but have you encountered that kind of bill of lading fraud, as I like to call it?
Yeah. Steven, it happens every now and then, but it's based upon the amount that we're going to do a fuel advance upon. If they're asking us to do a $3,000 fuel advance, I can guarantee you we're going to call the shipper and make sure they pick that load up. And that also, that also diminishes the fact you might have fraud. But if it's a little bit different, we can tell whether the shipper signed the bill or not, generally speaking. And if it looks hokey, we just call the shipper, make sure it's left. But I can say this all the time I've done it. I've been very, very few, very, very few fuel advances that I've had to write off. I mean, $5,000 the whole time I've done this. I've been doing fuel advances.
Yeah, you've been doing it for a while. So whatever processes you guys are doing on your end, they're working. With all my agents, we don't give out fuel advances at all. Your truck needs to be, on fire before I'm giving you a fuel advance. I've given out one fuel advance since I've been to the company I'm part of now, and it's just simply because I don't want to get ripped off, and I don't want to be a part of that at all. So we just don't do it.
Exactly.
Vincent, he's asking a bunch of questions about comp checks and EFS checks. So a carrier, based on what you've said already, the carrier does have the availability to utilize the money that's in his fuel card to have an EFS check to pay a lumper. So I'm just answering that long-winded question. So they can utilize the fuel card to pay the lumper. Now, most lumper services will not accept cash. They will not accept credit cards. They will not accept company checks. The only thing they accept are comp checks or EFS checks. But most, T-Checks and EFS, they've all merged under one company, and I believe Flex now, too. They're all the same brand under EFS. Now, I think there's only comp checks and EFS checks. There's no other, trucking-type check. So as long as you have EFS, with lumpers, or am I wrong about that?
Well, no, I think comp check and T-Check are your major providers of that service. We only offer T-Check. I used to offer Comdata. Comdata is a great company, but I've got tired of trying to manage another set of books for them, and it gets kind of convoluted when the check that was issued. It's not completely, you know, fully cashed, and so it leaves
yeah.
you know, dollars here, and so we just need this much easier. You know, we have a fuel card and a comp check type vehicle through EFS or T-Check. It just makes easiest. It's easy for everybody, so we're trying to keep it easy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I liked. Like we used our carrier EFS to do everything because we had it set up so we could issue the money codes if we needed to, out of that through the brokerage company, or I'm sorry, through the factoring. We were able to pay out lumpers if we needed to, and we always had lumper fees because we were in the Northeast and there's lumpers at every other stop it seems up there, so we'd always have to pay them. So we utilized that fuel card. Far more than we probably should have. We probably would have saved some money by getting our own EFS account or com data account. But it was just convenience because we just had all the money go to there, and then we'd ACH it out of there ourselves when we needed it. So,
but I will say this though, Stephen, that com data and T-Check both, they're trying to have all this stuff go through the apps because it's a real expensive for them to administer this stuff because there's fraud in these T-Checks. And comp checks too, and one of the biggest carrier situations that caused a lot of consternation was the fact that the T-check got in the wrong hands, and they kind of felt that the T-check should honor it, and of course they're not going to, but those scams kind of go on as well, but they steal the code, and then you thought you had $1,500 to play with. Now you got, $14.83 left in your T-check because someone stole the code. But
com data, I don't think you could pull because as soon as you activate it, they have to print off multiple checks. So, but with EFS, you can use it.
That sometimes gets messy too. I've also seen that it's gotten messy too, and issued several drafts off of it, and then. It just gets, then it gets crazy from there. They don't,
Someone with our factoring company because they used to give us money codes. Yeah, they used to give us money codes with one factoring company, and we'd have the money codes, and if we only used a portion, like to buy fuel, our factoring company was pretty good. So they would, at the end of every month, they'd go through and be like, oh, you either have, a couple extra $100 from all these unused money codes and pay it out. But then we ended up just switching and managing the just having them switch it all to an account because we figured out we could do the money codes ourselves and save a lot of time that way. It was very easy.
Yeah, if we get our money codes, but we know there's still some money in these money codes, we go ahead and there's been no activity on that money code. We'll go ahead and we know it's not our money. We'll go ahead and take it and give it back to the carrier on the next funding. But we have to usually wait 90 days. Just in case something stupid happens, but we don't.
Yeah.
Some factors out there that make money off the unused express codes, money codes.
So wrong.
Just burns my ass.
So wrong with my personality. I'm like, wait, you gotta tell me who that company is because some of these people are. It's you. I mean, you have that kind of like shadiness in all over the industry. Though it's not just factoring. It's.
No.
I mean, it's shady, but it's like an underhandedness. It's like the people that bury the contract for factoring in terms of conditions on like page 9 or to say by clicking this button, you agree to our terms, even though you've never read them or seen them and you don't know what the terms include. But they're able to like file UCCs and lock you into a contract just because you clicked the button or some things like that. And it's not right.
Well, it's really not legal to even file the UCC because if the factor's not really funded anything, there's really no obligation. So if the carrier is smart enough and raises enough hell with the factoring company and they've never funded them, you can kind of say, hey, I went over here to this guy. You never bought any of my stuff. Really what you're doing is illegal because you've never funded me any money. And of course, there's some people that will go ahead and charge you a termination fee anyway, because they say they've done all this work and you should be coming here, and it becomes a kind of a pissing match. But again, it goes back to your reputation. Are you above board trucking company, or you're not?
Yeah. There's one dispatch company that was doing that for a long time when I was dispatching, that they would have their dispatch contract, so they'd get you to sign up for dispatching, and then they would file a UCC, and they would say, hey, listen, we'll factor your invoices through our partnership with Joe Blow's, factoring company, some small factoring company, and the factoring company would file the UCC. They didn't care if they were first. They just filed that UCC, and then when your current factoring company would find out there's a new UCC filed on you, they would call you and not buy any invoices or anything until it was resolved, and then you would call that dispatch company that you signed up with, and they would be like, oh, well, you got to pay us $250 to have us release that UCC. It's in this 17 page contract you signed. It's a lot of stuff. People are shady.
Oh yeah, that's the thing about it. These contracts are so gnarly. And of course, like every contract, whoever's going to write the contract, they're in the strongest position. And these lawyers have gotten really creative on how to get extra fees and fee enhancers, as we call them, to help the factoring company make more money. And some of them even surprised me. These are factoring companies or even associated with banks that are under heavy regulatory scrutiny, and I just wouldn't think of a bank. But again, I was thinking, maybe I'm naive sometimes, but they put some of these stupid clauses in there, and they're just waiting for someone to sue them. But all you really got to do if you're involved with a bank factor is call the regulators on them, tell them that there's unfair trade practices going on, and this is going to be against the law that you're doing this. Blah 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 blah. And I guarantee you, any bank does not want the regulatory guys on the behind for anything.
Yeah,
but, it's part of being an informed consumer as well. But one of the things I see, Stephen, is that again, you've talked about it time and time again. I spoke about it again this morning. But these carriers will just read and not just read, but really try to understand what they're signing before they sign it. It really can be the difference between failure and success. And I'm glad I got an opportunity to say that again, because it really truly is. These factoring companies prey on their carriers not knowing anything about factoring. They think that the dumber you are, the more chance they're going to keep you longer, because you're just not going to be educated and know what to look for in a factoring agreement. And that's, again, probably talking about this morning, and you spoke about it on your podcast before, that if you don't read, you're gonna find out at the most inopportune time that you're stuck, and he who has the gold makes the rules. Sorry,
that's true.
That's reality in the factoring world, So
yeah, Vincent asked a question, and I'll let you answer this. He said, is there a max on the credit they'll extend to brokers or carriers? Would this affect them on the dedicated rate customers, or perhaps it's just case by case?
Well, the answer is it's going to be based upon the creditworthiness of the account debtor. We don't care about the credit of the carrier. We do care only for one reason. It's sometimes an indication of potential fraud, but the main thing is that the debtor, since we're a no-risk, non-recourse factoring company, is that we got to make sure that the debtor, the broker, can pay. Now, again, if it's a concentration, if they're good for $100,000, it's going to be a 100% concentration. We got to go in there eyes wide open, knowing whether these guys will pay us $100,000. So then it does go back a little bit to making sure that the carrier's paper is pristine and there's no issues in the verification, and so it's a process to get our comfort level with the carrier, because again, that three letter word beginning with T as a broker is notorious for claims and goofy stuff. But again, as long as the carrier's doing what they need to do, we also, the debtor credit is paramount.
Yeah. Yeah, I found that the easiest way to deal with the brokers that are a little bit more difficult to deal with in terms of claims are sounds silly, but just be nice. Just be nice to them. Be honest. And the thing, even though some of them are kind of annoying, if you have a $5,000 claim, they have every right to withhold $5,000. You know, it seems like you guys are different because you'll work with the carrier to not take it all back at once. That's another thing that I've never heard of before. Normally it's, or even if they do accept payments, it's like, listen, instead of you making that five, you know, us holding this, the next $5,000 in invoices, because they're not paying this invoice that we've already paid you for, you know, that, you know, it, we'll break it down into two invoices or something. So you pay $2,500 off one load, $2,500 off another, but it's not normally you. I don't know, in my experience, even with the company that I always talk about, I don't know if I've really heard of that, the type of flexibility that you would pay for freight offer. And I don't know. I mean, I really don't think so. Kind of should have learned about you guys
too, Stephen. If we've got a good client that does a good job all the time, you know, pretty much most of the time, and those little you know, knit-knack, you know, claims are going to pop up every now and then. But if you got a good carrier that's always has good paperwork, is easy to deal with, appreciates what we're doing for them, and helps us maybe get some paperwork that maybe we didn't get that we should have gotten. You know, it's a partnership. It's a cooperation between the carrier and the factoring company. And what we also try to do too is we're not in the business that if we got a freight claim with somebody, we don't take a heavy-handed approach, because all it's going to do is they're not going to load this guy anymore. Well, factoring companies make money off of the factoring fees, so why would I want to poison a carrier's customer unless they're just a dirtbag customer? We just don't find that out. Well, then we take a different tack. We go into it trying to be as customer or carrier oriented in talking to these brokers about claims, because again, if you'd be nice, you'd be surprised. You know, you might get your claim resolved faster. Well, that's what we're all looking for, is get that claim number known and put together some kind of repayment program so everyone gets paid.
Yeah, that was one of the I lost it. Oh, it was a good one too. I lost what I was gonna say.
Steve is getting tired. He's getting tired.
I am getting tired. I keep looking at myself in the camera and I'm like, man, I look beat. But it's been a long one today. It's, you know, it was a good one. It would have really tied in the whole factoring thing. I'll think about it. Because it was something direct. I wish I personally, this is not smoke either. I wish I knew more about pay for freight before I came up with this idea. Because, you know, as a salesperson, as someone that refers companies over, it seems like it's an easy sell. You guys seem like a very honest, trustworthy company, and you seem to have, like you said in your earlier show, you're not one for like BS. You don't really mess around too much. And that's kind of like, I say that in every show. I'm a no BS kind of guy. I'm a straight shooter. And just seems like you're pay for freight is the unknown factoring company that now I firmly believe everybody needs to know, because the rates are on point. They're better than most of the companies that I've dealt with and that I currently deal with. Customer service level, I've now considered, you know, I know you, I know Maria from dealing with Maria. It's different. I think more people, you know, and hopefully that's the purpose of these videos. And as I continue as I make these videos and chop them up and make them, you know, into different podcasts and stuff, hopefully I can impress that on everyone, is that, you know, it's more than just, I think it's more than just like an advertising or anything like that. I think it's, you're one of the few honest, honest companies that are out there anymore. You know what I mean? So.
Well, I appreciate it, Steve. We try really hard, because the way I look at life, I mean, I'm 63 years old, and I'm more concerned about my integrity worth more than my net worth. And no one will remember my net worth, but they'll sure remember my integrity net worth. And that's all we really have at the end of the day anyway, is our integrity. And I won't do anything to jeopardize this at all. It's just not something I believe. It's, you know, I'd rather, again, like I said, I'd rather take a loss on something that we didn't do right, as opposed to, you know, being most of the rest of the industry will just oh, well, too bad to be you. It's a chargeback. You know, it's a paperwork issue, whatever it is. And, you know, even though you messed up and, you know, they blame this on this or that, you know, again, if we made a mistake, we're going to make it right. And I think that's how you do it. That's how you got to do business. I mean, if the money you may have to, you know, eat yourself is, I consider it an investment in the relationship. And that's one of the things that what's really frustrating for me as a business owner is that there's so many of these low ball rates out there, 2%, 1.5. We talked about it earlier this morning, where the carriers only care about the rate and they really don't understand how important the service is. And they don't understand too. They get this low rate. They want that Walmart blue light special on a factoring fee. And they want the same. They want Neiman Marcus quality, or whatever big store that's in your Macy's or those big top line stores, and it just doesn't happen. It can't happen, you know. But these carriers get talking to each other and say, "Well, I can get 2% over here. I can get this and get that." Well, yeah, you can get that, but you know, what is it really going to cost you? It's going to cost you a hell of a lot more than that 2% or 1.5%, because, and one thing we talked about before is most of the industry right now is recourse factoring. There's really not a lot of us that really practice true non-recourse. And the thing that bothers me about it is that, yeah, you get all these 2% rates, it's recourse, it's a one-year contract, but there's really no motivation on the recourse factor to collect the invoice very, very hard. They'll maybe make one or two calls. And as a non-recourse factor, my method is I want to collect the thing as fast as possible. I want to do it in the most professional manner. But if I keep my receivables turning quicker, my yields go up. You know, and so even though the factor margin may go down, my yields don't suffer because I'm working my tail off because I've got a top-notch credit department and collection department that makes good decisions and they're diligent in their calls. And so we don't have a lot of, you know, nonsense, generally speaking. We're going to have our problems like everybody else does. But, you know, we don't have a lot of problems because we stay on top of the invoice, and which also makes us a little bit, you know, we're very conscious of the quality of the paper because it's better to get it done up front correctly than have to go back and fix it once the carrier's got the money. There seems to be not as much motivation once they've got their cash. But again, we want to make sure that we get paid quickly and get the carrier their money as quickly as well. So it's interesting how the factoring world's changed even the last 12 to 18 months. It's just been unbelievable. Some of the number of factoring companies that have popped up that are just, and they don't really know what they're doing, and they buy a manual from somebody, or they know someone's an attorney or whatever it is, and they think now that they're a factoring company. They really don't understand the risk. But again,
there have been a couple of new ones. I was approached by one a while ago that I don't know. They were trying to sell that they were not a factoring company, even though they were clearly factoring. I don't know. They were trying to work with carriers. I'm not going to say who they are on this show, but it was a very, very, very weird, you know, conference call that I had with one of their sales guys, the president of the company, because they were trying to say they break that the factoring mold, and that, you know, they were just basically saying what a recourse factoring program was. And I don't know if they really even knew anything about factoring because they know nothing they said separated what they were doing from you know, any other person out there. And I think this is one of the things that I was that I forgot a second ago is with me and one of the biggest decisions for, or one of the biggest reasons why I say a company should consider using a factoring company no matter what their financial situation is, just because there's, if only for the credit checks or something, you know what I mean? Granted, you guys aren't going to go and credit check every single customer if the carrier's not factoring the invoices. But use it for the back office support, the collection support. And a lot of the factoring companies are very flexible on how they, you know, what kind of, I mean, I know I was able, when I built an app a while ago, I was able to get a factoring company to give me a stupid deal for any carrier who signed up in terms of factoring. And that's the thing, is you have a lot of play, and as long as it's a team effort, and you know, that's the importance of working with a factoring company, especially a smaller one, is you're able to create a relationship and almost treat it not like employees. I don't know where I'm trying to go with this, but it's the support of, if you treat it instead of a service, like an extension of your company, or, you know, in terms of collections and all that stuff, it kind of pays for itself. You know what I mean?
We always, no, you're going the right direction. I mean, we consider our factoring carriers as partners, and because we're providing the financial support they need, and we try to, again, want them to know that we're their partner, and we sometimes give them a lot of, opinions on stuff that they ask us questions on, because, you know, I've done this thing for so long, and people I have working for me also have done this for a real long time. We have no problem, helping these guys out, whether it's insurance or even load boards or dispatch services. We deal with a lot of different people in our course of being in business. But, you know, we're here to help. And, you know, one of the things we've also done, we got a good carrier. He has an insurance. He's a little bit behind his insurance renewal. We'll help him with that as well, and like a general advance. And or if they've had a situation where they're broke down, and they've got another truck or two, but we try to, if it's something that they can, get fixed pretty quickly. I've sent a T-check to a repair shop to get a truck out of the shop so he can finish the load, because if the load's a pretty good size load, and we just got to, it's still okay. It could be a little bit late, and they'll still pay it in full. So we do those kind of things too for our carriers, because we do really want to be that. We want to help them succeed. And of course, we can't say yes on everything, but we try to say yes every single time we can.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that kind of, it sets pay for freight apart from some of the other ones. Like I said, I didn't know much about it until Maria, until I was talking with your salesperson, Maria, more about it. I kind of wish I knew about you guys a long time ago, because I think I could have made some funny videos, because it's just, because I make funny videos for factoring, but I've always been partial to the little guy, because I feel like you have more of a personal relationship with him. And granted, I have great relationships with who I work with all the time. I've become friends with them, I like to say. But it's that where as a client, as someone that looks for packaging, realizing that you are a person and an individual, even though it's something that's been said a lot, rather than a number, is very important. You know. And Vincent, he said, as soon as you're ready to do non-recourse factoring for brokers, which will never happen, call him.
We love factoring. Yeah.
Brokers will never be non-recourse. You'll never find out.
I don't
you'll
think we're going to do non-recourse in that arena.
No. I don't think there's a single person that would ever do it. I've heard a flat fee factoring for brokers, or like per invoice, but you're never going to find a non-recourse factoring company that's factoring a broker. If you do find that, let me know. I guarantee I'll find something wrong with it.
Yeah, let me know, too, and I'll send you all my
turn down. And a couple of other people that watch these videos will probably be curious. Does Pay for Freight have a referral program?
We do. We normally we pay $150 per referral. But, again, if we've got someone who kind of is a little bit, does it for a living, we do pay commissions to people that are dedicated to finding carriers for factoring companies. We pay commission on those, we support brokers send us business. We give our carriers, we give them a referral fee of $150, and we do get, I would say, 25% of our originations each year come from word of mouth from our clients, and that's an advertisement that you can't put any value on, because it just speaks for what we do every day for every client.
Yeah, no, that's important. You know, I think, you know, sometimes I think it's more important just to refer people over to a company that's going to benefit them. You know, the way I built the whole premise of everything is I don't really care about the money as much as I care about just making sure that the people I refer over and in general, in anything, because I refer to, you know, a bunch of different, you know, it's not just not just acting or anything like that. It's in general, people that I refer over to, you know, if someone says, hey, who can do a website? And if I don't have time to do it, then I refer it over to somebody else and say, hey, these guys can do it. And I'm not getting kickbacks or like Brittany with insurance. You know, it's just because I think that they're good, honest people that'll help. You know, and Vincent, exactly. I guarantee he's going to probably call you because he's I'm working with him to set up his brokerage, and the guy has more questions than anybody ever met. But I think he's going to be a big time someday. If you're going to factor with brokers, you may want to make him your first one. I think he's going
to
be.
Big. Yeah, I'd like to because again, what we. As most, as he's probably already figured out, but just real quickly, if he's factoring his receivables for the factoring company that does that, you know, we can put together a quick pay program to where they can be really competitive on that side of it, and also earn revenue on the quick pay side that we share that. And so what it does, it actually drops the factoring fee that the broker's paying to factor right. invoices. So we can do that. You probably already talked about that, but we're definitely we offer that quick pay module as well for his carrier. So again, he have more chance to make his factoring, you know, as cheap as possible.
Right. Yeah. I think while the pool of people that factor brokers is small, I think it's kind of something that's. It's gonna be bigger. Most of the companies are gonna get in there, Vincent, send me a PM. I'll send you Robert's contact information after. But yeah, he'll contact you. He's a good guy. I've been working with him to set up his brokerage. He's got a brand new brokerage, but I think he's gonna be a big guy someday. So he said you told him. So maybe he'll be your first broker client. But.
Well,
but
to
what else?
Next
what's that?
No, I said we got one we're gonna fund probably next week, but I mean, we'd love to have him be, you know, if it works, it works. But he could be number one, he could be number two, but he'll get taken good care
you
of.
You made a four or five guy too, because he's very interested in the referral stuff too. So he's
good, cool.
He's interested in it. So let's. You know, because we don't have a lot of questions and no call-ins, even though the number's posted. But what do you think? What do you think the most important takeaway of factoring today in factoring would be? Like, what do you think the biggest takeaway is? And that everybody needs to just whether or not they work with pay for freight or they choose a different factoring company. What do you think the most important advice you could give them would be?
It really is. I keep being a broken record here, but you know, read the contract. Make sure you understand what you're signing before you sign it. Because it really can be the difference between success and failure. If you're gonna try a factoring company, I mean, you really want someone that's month to month, because if something's brand new, you don't really understand all of it, and you don't want to sign a year contract with somebody. For a 6-month contract with someone, if you don't kind of know what the rules of engagement are. So it takes a little bit of time to get really, you know, really understand it. So, but again, there's so many goofy clauses in these contracts, Steve. I just think these guys, if they would just take a little bit of time and read and ask questions. All of our salespeople, you know, are big believers, and we want to answer. Here's the contract. You have any questions? You know, let's go over them now, because we want you to have success with us, and you got to understand what you signed before you can really, you know, move forward. And it takes kind of the worry out, because if you know how the fucking guy is going to work, you start to develop that trust immediately. And some factory companies they don't practice that philosophy, and they end up, you know, doing some things that these carriers going. How in the world? Why did I sign up with these guys? How can I get out of it? Is the first thing that they can't. They're locked.
Right.
They have to end up, they almost have to shut their business down and restart up with somebody else. You know,
and to go a step further, I know, and I'm not going to name who they are, but I know there's at least one factoring company that'll send you out their proposal for your rate. And then they do it electronically. And as soon as you click the little box and you say, I accept this proposal, you're not only accepting that proposal, you are accepting them to, they now own you. And you will have to, they will file a UCC the same day you click that accept button. You will have a UCC on you. Before you even think about filing an invoice or factoring an invoice. And they are a big company. And I made a video on them, and they threatened to do the whole lawsuit thing on me, too.
there's also another one out there that has this terrible service. And they say they'll let you buy them out, but they won't let you buy out what they already have. So basically, you can't get away from them. Yeah.
Wow.
And so you sign this contract, and they used to just decide what the termination fee, because it was never stated in the contract. But then what they've done now is that they decide, well, you can buy them. You can factor your bills somewhere else, but you're just not going to buy these. So you're basically going to be in second position to all those invoices pay to the factoring company that won't let you have a release. So you've got money that the carrier can't haul any loads for those same people that, again, there's already balances out there, and most likely you're going to buy any of them because they've all been previously notified. So the carrier, again, is stuck. There's actually some discussion about a class action lawsuit being filed against these guys, and I would love to invest in that one. I think they're going to lose their butt on it.
They're a big one.
Well, that's just me. They're a good size one. Yeah.
I've had very good success in getting carriers out of getting carrier accounts bought out with very little penalty. You know, just to name a few, ECS got carriers out of there, RTS got carriers out of there, Triumph got carriers out, all pre-contract. And all without any fees, just a standard buyout. But I think it's also because I'm a pain in the butt, and they don't want me calling them 15 times a day. And so eventually they just let it go. And the accounts weren't super huge. But I've got a 95% success rate on switching over to other companies. But it's hard. Factoring's hard. There's, you know, I just believe when you call, ask. Here's a sales tip but here's a tip for any carrier that's out there trying to decide whether or not a factoring company is right. Granted, by watching this video, you should already be, you know, emailing Robert with patient freight. But if you haven't already, and you're in talks with someone else, ask them how many carriers the average sales rep works with. That's a very important thing to me, because when I set up one of the companies that I was consulting for, and we switched them over to an unnamed broker, and then it turns out that once everything was done, that carrier sales rep dealt with 170 trucks, 170 carriers. How many he was responsible for every single day? There's no way they could actually.
Yeah. It's tough. You know, you've got that kind of workload because. And then if you're out, then someone else is managing them. And there's just always, as good as you try to, we try to be at paper freight. You know, we're going to miss something because we're not used to that carrier, and there may be some little nuance. Sally handles XYZ trucking company, and Melissa comes behind her, and you know, there's no notes in the system, and they give them the standard operating procedure, and they go, "What? You know, Sally didn't do that to me." You know, so it's, you know, you have that all the time, but we try to, you know, make sure everyone has notes in the system to where, you know, if anyone picks up the file, if someone says out of office for whatever reason, that they get the same service, whoever calls and needs the service that they're wanting us to provide. So.
Yeah, there's. I mean, that's the thing. It's you know, I'm not saying a small small factory company is the best. I just think that anybody, just listen, watch the video back on replay later. Listen to the podcast when it's recorded. I think it tells you a lot about someone that you know, me personally, if I was going to start a trucking company and whether or not I have the money to you know, support it, it doesn't really matter. It's, to me, it's worth paying a percentage to minimize the amount of, it's an outsourced back office, essentially, that costs 3% or 2%. You know, that's kind of my rationale in terms of doing it. And if you actually, you know, break down the numbers, 3% of, you know, an average truck, I don't have a calculator up here right now and my brain's fried, but let's just do some math. So if you have, you know, say, let me do math, 20,000 divided by 3%. What is that? You're the math guy. What's that?
Well, it's 60,000. No, it's not.
No.
It's
600. $666 a month. Yeah. So imagine if you $666 a month. So if you have a back off, so basically if you're factoring $20,000 a month, which if you're doing that consecutively, that's pretty good for you. But if you're factoring $20,000 a month and your factoring rate's at 3%, then you're gonna spend $600 and not have to worry about any of the collections, not have to worry about any of the invoicing. All you're going to do is just upload your paperwork in a hub. You don't need to create the invoice. Yeah. You don't need to make sure the carriers pay you on time. You don't need to worry about making sure the carriers or the broker pays at 60, 70 days, whatever they normally pay, because that's what the factoring company does. So, you know, it's, and think about it. You have 4 or 5 trucks before it would, it's, I don't know. See, I didn't think like that before. I went with factoring just because I didn't need to, because it was a lot easier for me in terms of dealing with. I didn't think of it from the outsourcing an employee type of front, because if you think about it, you could at $20,000 per truck per month. I'm going nuts here, but if you had 6 trucks doing $120,000 a month, you would still be at $3,600, roughly $3,800, which is still less expensive than hiring a full-time accounting person.
Exactly.
So, I mean,
and that's what,
and plus, and then you're getting all your money in there next day.
it's kind of
a no-brainer, if you ask me. But.
Well, it really is. It is a situation where you got to pay them a wage, you got to pay the benefits, and you got to manage them. Well, outsource that to a factoring company, and you don't have. It's one more less employee you have to mess with, because employees. Certain parts of the country are not easy to get, or if they're too easy, then that's creates another problem.
Yeah, they're no good. Right.
So it's outsourcing makes a lot of sense for trucking companies when they get to that 5-6, level of trucks, because you don't need Sally back there doing all this stuff, because she's, it's better to hire a team that's going to do all this stuff for you. And again, with the fact that we're an on-recourse factor, you have to worry about the thing not paying.
Right.
Now, if they file bankruptcy on you, especially, you just dodge the bullet. The factory company has to eat that. And we reserve, part of our fees for that, because we know we're going to take some losses every now and then. And as long as it's an insurance, gain to a certain extent on how we think the portfolio is going to perform. I don't get way stupid technical here, and I apologize for that. But it's outsourcing
thing
that factoring sometimes forgets about, that people forget about how valuable.
I'll be honest. I've been doing this for 15 years, and I have never, up until I just said it, thought about it from an outsourcing capacity ever. And that's honesty. I've never broken down the numbers and said, "Hey, listen, it's actually cheaper to outsource your invoices is to actually pay someone to do it." It's pretty insane.
Right.
Everybody should factor. That is the reason why you should factor. If you have any questions,
everybody should factor. Everybody should factor with paper freight, and it'd be a wonderful, wonderful day in the neighborhood. Just everybody factor paper freight.
I swear. Maybe it's just because I'm tired from making this video. I can't understand why I never thought of that before. Because I even when I was factoring, I still paid this girl to do all my invoicing and my accounting. And I was paying her over $3,600 a month. And I was still factoring. And I was like, wait, what does she do? But that's true, because a good factoring company will handle the invoicing for you. you know, they'll handle the accounting, especially if you're getting paid the next day or same day, even like you guys do on some occasion. Mm-hmm. It's that's pretty good. But yeah, like you just said, everyone should contact Pay for Freight, especially any of you guys that are out there setting up trucking companies. As soon as Robert says, "Hey, unleash the brokers on me," we're ready to take on some brokers. I'll send you a list. I got a bunch, and that are willing to go. Yeah. Vincent, they handle all the collections. They handle everything. That's the benefit. I knew it depends. That's the thing about non-recourse factoring is it's different because you are the one taking the risk. Like Pay for Freight takes the risk on non-recourse transactions. You know that's why, because you guys are a little bit more stringent on your credit approvals, correct?
Yeah, I think so. Even the accounts that we have that are recourse, Stephen, we don't want to. Even though it's recourse, because we have a couple of our larger accounts that are recourse, but at the end of the day, why? And here's the thing that really just upsets me about these recourse factors: and the fact is they'll give a credit approval, okay, and then they'll say, "Oh well, too bad, they went out of business." So they gave you basically false information. So they said, "Go ahead and run the load," and because they made the mistake, you're paying for the mistake that the factoring company made. And to me, that
right.
seems squirrely. Especially on the carrier side, I took the load because you said to take it. And now I haul the load. You buy it. And then 30 days back, you say, "Oh, they filed bankruptcy. You're on recourse. Too bad. So sad. Pay me my $1,500 back." And that
I never understand. Right. I don't understand why people go recourse, including me, you know, when we went recourse for a little bit because all we saw is numbers. We saw, oh, we're going to save a point and a half, you know, annually on our factoring, when it's really all the headaches that we had because of the recourse and all the extra fees and everything that they hid in there. I think I calculated it to be like $6 is what we were actually paying. And that was with one of the megas that everybody knows out there for factoring, you know. So I think it's very like you said a million times, read your contracts, because all those fees. That's the thing about them, all the fees that these guys hide and charge later on, they're in those contracts that you signed or the terms and conditions that they hid and you agreed to. One way or the other, they're there for you to see. So if it's nobody's fault if you sign up for a recourse program. And you're getting all these fees that you didn't expect. It's kind of your fault, ultimately, is the way I think about it. They may have had underhanded tactics to get you to that point, but you need to do your due diligence, just like Brittany was saying with the insurance. Read your quote paperwork. Read your insurance paperwork. Make sure you read everything. On your cargo insurance exclusion. Make sure that's the biggest part about the industry. Make sure you read every broker packet that comes through to make sure you're not getting slapped with, you know, penalties after missing a delivery or something like that. You know, I tell my agents that all the time. You need to have every single thing, every possible fine that we will incur on those invoices. And it goes just to do your due diligence. And it's the same thing. If you're selecting a factoring company or you're selecting an insurance company or hell, you're selecting a dispatch company, do your due diligence. Make sure that you do the background. And then once you do your due diligence, you're going to honestly see that you should sign up with Pay for Freight.
Well, exactly. I think that at the end of the day, you just want to get carriers need someone they can really trust, who has a track record of taking good care of the carriers. We don't have a lot of Google reviews. We're going to start working on that here, because we do have a pretty good story that needs to be fully reiterated out there in the marketplace. But
if you want to put the Google reviews.
Yeah, I gotta get those Google reviews. Maria's on my case about that. So we're gonna work on getting those Google reviews placed up there that are from our carriers that really do think that we do a great job, and there's a lot of them do that don't. But they don't have enough time. They're trying to make money and get them to stop. Getting them to stop to write a little, you know, two or three sentence or even one sentence. You know, Google review is challenging, but. My operations department is going to have something to say. Going to be part of a program, get back on money. That okay, time start calling all your carriers and getting Google reviews. I have a contest, you know. So we want everyone to know, just, you know, how good we really are. So.
Yeah, I tried the whole review thing with the brand's Facebook page and just said, you know, people just leave reviews whether you like it or not. And I think I've got 15 reviews out of 2,200 followers. It's hard. It's hard to get people to write it sometimes. And then and then you get them off, and that's just like, you don't even know who they are, and they just give you some negative thing, and it screws up everything. You know, I'm sure if you publish it out and you publish it out a lot on your social media to say, hey, listen, you like us, please leave a review, and I'll put it out there. Anyone that's watched this show and you really like Pay for Freight and what they stand for, go ahead and leave them a review. so, you know, that's important because I'm going to leave a review because I think you guys are one of the honest companies, and I wish I knew more about you earlier, to be completely honest and to completely frank with you, because I think it's hard. I mean, granted, a big account may not be the biggest fit. You know, a 200 truck company coming to you and saying, "Hey, listen, can we work together?" You may have to say no. It's a big company, but for the guy that's out there and looking to grow his company and do everything the right way and just be supported by a company that seems to genuinely care whether they succeed or not and not just be out there to make money is different. It's not something you hear every day, and I'm not saying that because this is a sponsored thing. If most of these guys know that anyway, I'm a pretty abrasive person, but I'm really impressed with the way the conversation went today, and with go ahead.
One of the things we also do see, I've put out several client announcement stuff, and I go so far as that my cell phone number has been on a number of those mass emails going out. So I don't have if a carrier has a problem and we didn't do something right, I want to know about it because, it's like I said earlier, it's my company, if my integrity is being questioned, I want to know what we did wrong and I want to have an opportunity to make it right.
Right. Well, I got to say, man, it's a pleasure meeting you. It's a pleasure being part of this. It's a pleasure having you be part of this Freightbrook Live event. And I sincerely, when I get over to Chattanooga and all that stuff, I'm going to say, listen, we got to get behind this and keep it going. Cause I think I don't know what the right word is. You're the way a factory company should be. You know what I mean? The way that your outlook on it and the way that you care and you want to make sure that the company is doing the things that it's supposed to is, it's late, but you have my seal of approval.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. This has been a really great, I've never done this before, Stephen. So it's really been great to work with you on this project and hope we get to work on a couple more projects before it's all said and done, because I think what you do in the industry is equally important. You're training people on how to be a success, whether it's a carrier or whether it's a broker. There's a lot of landmines out there, and you're one of the champions that reveals where those little landmines are at. And there's landmines in the factory industry, and I'm here also to help make sure you guys, anyone doesn't step on one of them, because that's not what we're about. And this has been a blast and a half today, and I want to thank you so much for allowing me and my company, Paper Freight, to be a part of this. And I hope we can do many more of little presentations like this together, so we can educate the community that factoring really is not a four-letter word, beginning with F.
Well. No, it was a pleasure, and yeah, we'll definitely be in touch. I'm going to don't forget to send me that flyer so I can put it in the manual. I'm going to talk about the manual for a little bit that I'm putting out, and then your contact information will be on there. And for everyone that's watching on YouTube, if you watch us on replay about the factoring segment and all that, Robert's information or Maria's will all be in each video that I produce and the contents of all the podcasts and all that stuff. So I have ways to get in touch with you. All right. But hey, thanks again for joining
us. Great. Thank you, sir. Have a wonderful rest of the day.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, guys. So as I mentioned just to Robert, so he's awesome. I really mean it. I wasn't trying to blow smoke and just be like, hey, listen, you sponsored this whole event. Let me just blow smoke. I think that's what he's doing with Pay for Freight and the an impression that he's doing. It's very good. And no, I'm not playing the other commercial because this event is sponsored by a different factory company. I can't do that. That would be wrong. But I really think anyone that's looking to become a carrier or looking to start their own trucking company, you guys need to contact Pay for Freight, at least to talk to them. I mean, like I said, they do all sorts of stuff. They partner with a trailer financing company. They can help do some insurance premium financing, which is something you'll need. It's a good company, and I'm really impressed with the outlook he has on the industry and what he holds. What's important to him, man, because it kind of aligns with my values. And granted, this has been a marathon, guys. 6 hours and 51 minutes of nonstop freight. Well, actually, I took a couple of breaks, but whatever. But I wrapped it up. It's going to be an hour quicker than I thought it was going to be, which is exciting, but I took a shorter lunch and less breaks as I thought. And I know, I mean, there was one guy that was trolling, said, you know, whatever he said earlier. I know, and I gave a little disclaimer in the beginning of this video. I'm not going to provide all the content that you need. I there's stuff that's left out. And that's the thing about watching someone talk for 7 hours about something they love and something they care about and something they want everyone to know is you're still, even in 7 hours, you're not going to find enough information you need to diversify, you know, so watch these videos that I, you know, and like I said, I'll cut up these videos and make different videos, but watch these videos, watch other YouTube guys, watch other Facebook guys, buy some books, you know, do whatever you have to get a full understanding of the freight industry before you leap in. And once you leap in, align yourself with some great, strong support groups like Pay for Freight, like Insurance Unlimited, like, you know, different Facebook group, you know, groups, but choose a good support network is what I meant to say of providers. I will be honest with you. The whole thing I said about back office support and outsourcing your accounting department to a factory, I have never thought of it that way up until today. I have never, ever thought of it that way until today. And I really wish I thought about it before because I used to have accountants. I used to, you know, consult for some big companies, you know, 50, 60, 70 truck companies that are factoring plus have accountants and they're not getting the best factoring rate, but they have accounting people that are dealing with making invoices and getting paperwork and all that stuff. And if I thought about it in that sense, I would have made more money. But so the manual that I'm putting out, so I have to recreate a couple of things. I'm waiting on Brittany to send in a little like flyer to put in there. I'm waiting for Robert with Pay for Freight to send me a little flyer that I could put in there. So it should be out on, I'm going to give it, say, another week or so, and then I'll have it finished. And I'll just email it to everybody. Everybody will just get it for free. I will also put a link to it on my website. So anyone that wants it will just put in your email address, and then it will send you the manual. And I'll keep adding it and updating it, too, and I'll keep an update. You will get an email list probably tomorrow after I get to Tennessee. You will get either a phone call or an email from the folks at Pay for Freight just talking about, you know, this and what your next steps are as an aspiring carrier. So just bear with it. 6 hours and 55 minutes. I'm going to end the talk show right now because it's getting to be the end. And like I said again,